This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kanesan and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Bike hailing has been in the news lately with the government allowing operators to work for 6 months during a proof of concept period. And a prominent player here, Dago Ride, has come into play. The firm started bike hailing back in late 2016, but was then banned shortly after. Now they're back in business, but with huge players like Grab and Gojek in the mix, can Dago really take off here? And to answer that question and more, I have Nabil Faizal Bamadaj, founder and CEO of Dago Malaysia, the owner and operator of Dago Ride. Welcome to the show, Nabil.
Hi. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and an honor, actually.
So, Nabil, where did the inspiration or the idea for Dago Ride come from?
The inspiration or the idea was, I've traveled to Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, and all across the ASEAN cities, I saw that, everybody used motorcycle taxis. It was a traditional form of transport in all of these cities. And I asked myself, why wasn't Malaysia having this form of transport? And what could we then do, learning from the traditional sense of where it already built itself into the culture, could we bring it to Malaysia and enable it with technology? And that was one of the reasons that I started Dago Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur.
So Nabil, my understanding is that you were first in logistics and e-commerce, yeah, and then you moved over from bike hailing. Why did that happen?
Because over 2 years, so I started logistics in 2014, and in 2 years, I collected enough data to show that no matter what we did, the average maximum number of jobs a rider could do was 3. Maximum would be 4. That's like best case scenario if they were to bundle up items. And this goes very, very well with, like, what we see delivery today being one of the most popular way to deliver food. When you do documents and whatnot, obviously you'll do more. But at the time, we were calculating drop points. So that number, that maximum number of deliveries equates to a maximum number of earnings per rider. So the question that I had brought to myself over the last 2 years of operating a logistics business was, how can I increase this income? How can I use data to increase the livelihoods of these people? And that was where, I looked abroad, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, and there's like the taxi, motorcycle industry flourishing. And I said, why can't Malaysia emulate this? Could transport be the answer? And that's where today, post POC, we launched in 1st January 2020. We realized that these riders can do 5 to 7 jobs an hour, and that means a lot in terms of data. So where we go from here, only time will tell, and I hope that it continues becoming our so-called unique advantage.
Now, a big question when it comes to any startup, and especially in the ride-hailing spaces, is how much does it cost and is it really going to turn a profit in time? Because we've seen giant players like Uber till today haven't turned a profit yet. And at least with Uber and the likes of Grab and Gojek, they have deep pockets and are able to spend that capital and funding. What is your burn rate looking like at this point?
Right now, we're actually operating at method which I actually started off in 2016, which was literally to enable them to get deliveries or jobs via the platform for free. So we are actually doing a commission-free period right now with our drivers or riders. What this allows is for the riders and drivers to set pace to themselves in terms of their earnings, calculate all of that. And for us, that's the data that we collect. So in reality, it's a neutral burn rate, I would say, because we get valuable information out of it that we can then share to parties that will see value in it. So in terms of so-called cash, actual cash burn rate, it's just about setting up a team to manage the number of riders who are coming on board. You know, we started with about 4,000 registrations. We onboarded about 700 people on the first day that we launched. Today, it's less than a month. The number of registrations have grown out of my expectations. And I had to like recruit a huge team just to handle registration, the registration effort or the onboarding effort. So this goes to show that there is definitely a demand from the rider. At the same time, you know, we've also been able to measure market demand. And the market demand has been, I would say this, before we got into this, we had a projection sheet. So the projection sheet, let's just say that the numbers that I had projected on year two is happening on the first month for the demand side of things. And I really, really am grateful and hopeful that this will be a stepping stone to something greater.
You recently formed a partnership with 7-Eleven Malaysia. They've taken up a sizable stake in Daigou Malaysia. I think the stake is around 46%. But what's the synergy here with 7-Eleven? Most of the other big ride-hailing or e-hailing firms are forming ventures with other tech companies. Where is this synergy with 7-Eleven?
So I see value in forming partnerships with other online companies like the incumbents and others. However, one thing that struck me while I was considering partnerships was that wouldn't it be a great form of synergy if online was to be combined with offline retail? And can that be something even more stronger or more valid or more sustainable or more opportunity-driven for both parties? Because we have the so-called, you know, online is becoming stronger than offline retail problem. So why not partner with an offline partner and allow them to build that bridge to the online world? And also give consumers on my online site the accessibility to offline positions or retail outlets. And you see, you know, Amazon and Alibaba now going into offline retail. And it's quite, catch 22 position where they've been online for the last 10 years or so or even more. And all of a sudden they're going offline. So learning from those examples and case studies, Tan Sri, Vincent and I felt that it was a good move to connect both our companies and our strategies and our visions together.
And are you looking at partnerships, other partnerships?
Yeah, we are. We're open to looking at other possible partnerships. So one other partnership that we are looking at currently is working with or collaborating with the public transport operator in Klang Valley. And that is to basically validate the mobility argument or aspect of our company and also the valid problems that are being faced by everyone who wants to get connected to public transport systems. And I see that as a partnership that strengthens our position because 7-Eleven is for the retail. We provide the technology. The public transport operator provides the public transport infrastructure, and how do we all connect together and build a meaningful ecosystem is all about execution. It's a lot of hard work, and I hope that I'm up to task with it.
Can you tell us the name of this public transport operator, or is that still hush-hush?
It's still hush-hush, but it'll come soon. It'll come really, really soon.
Yeah, and we're going to continue this discussion in just a little bit. You're tuned into The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. You're here with me, Roshan Kanisan, and Nabil Faizal Bamadaj, founder and CEO of Daigo Malaysia, the owner and operator of Daigo Ride. So Nabil, let's talk about how you're going to operate here in Malaysia. Do you have plans on how you're going to make the service viable here? What are your plans in terms of marketing, in terms of getting your name out there?
So one of the key elements of our plan to market is to actually build partnerships. So we're building a partnership that will be announced relatively soon from now with an operator for public transport. That will essentially be our base volume or base revenue generator. And we look forward to providing viable transport and also delivery courier services to the mass in Klang Valley due to the sheer number of motorcyclists and car drivers that we have on board right now. And we look to onboard more and make mobility and deliveries become something different.
What about in terms of marketing? Do you have any plans there?
In terms of marketing, we're currently actually providing a promo where we're giving 50% off for every user on Daigo. This is essentially for our ride service and also for our delivery services. So anybody in Klang Valley could essentially try out our services and get a feel of what makes us different and our quality of service. Apart from that, we are also launching a few other marketing promos. Please download our app and you shall be able to receive those promos accordingly on your email and also via the app.
So promos are a big part of how ride hailers are trying to get people on board, right? Everyone has done it before. Do you think it's a sustainable way of acquiring new customers?
I think it's a double-edged sword. So you got to be able to implement the strategy correctly. So we have a referral program to basically drive signups. So if you refer somebody to sign up on our service and they use our service, you get 10 ringgit for referring that particular user or that particular rider or driver. On the flip side, we're also providing 50% promos off to our users. So it's about incentivizing people to try out the service. However, all of these promos are tied back to a unique one-off use. So that's how we actually build a meaningful user base, while we also validate and verify the phone numbers and the emails that register through our platform to ensure that, you know, we're getting the right number of users and they're not replicating themselves on our platform as well.
And one of the potential concerns, whether valid or not, has been around hygiene and safety when it comes to taking bike hailings. And how are you addressing this?
Definitely. I mean, hygiene and safety, I mean, even before hygiene, safety is more paramount and much more of a priority for everyone. I think safety, even when you're not on a motorcycle taxi, is also very important. I mean, walking down the street in a particular place is also equally as important. So for us, we highly vet our guys, our riders, our providers who do deliveries and also who provide transport. We also share these people's personalities and information to the relevant authorities prior to them actually doing any services with us. So it gets shared with the APAD agency. It gets shared with PDRM. It gets shared with JKJR and JPJ. And essentially, that allows us to monitor or ensure that our consumers or the people who use our transport services get the best safety when they use our services, of course.
And, you know, you were talking about your riders earlier. These are the people who are going to be ferrying people around. Now, one of the things that's part of your platform is the gender segregation. This is going to be one of your challenges this year. What are you doing to deal with this?
Okay, so I mean, yes, that's true that we have gender segregation. However, it's a gender segregation that is based on choice. So our female users can opt for a male rider if they so wish to use a male rider for that time being, because we couldn't find any female riders. So our major challenge is to actually get more female riders to get onto our platform. However, we're coming up with several initiatives with relevant government agencies and also university bodies to actually leverage on their platforms so that we can give them awareness about the potential positives of providing ride sharing on their motorcycles while also earning an income and probably doing their university or college and, you know, providing safe rides to other women.
Do you have any numbers for us in terms of the number of male to female drivers that you have right now?
The ratio is quite skewed to the male, so I would say easily 85% are male. We have a sizable woman base. However, you know, because it is purely a freelance platform, a lot of factors come into the matching, and sometimes, you know, the males are more often than not the ones available to assist everyone.
And what are the how has the response been to you trying to acquire more female riders for the platform?
It's been good, and surprisingly, a lot of college students, university students from the public universities, are signing up. We have a lot of the KL-based universities and colleges already signing up and already providing safe rides for their colleagues while earning an income. So it's promising. However, we're looking to grow that growth further with a few programs that we have lined up on our way.
And what you were talking about the government just a little earlier, I want to ask you about your relationship with the Ministry of Transport. How did you, or at least the group of bike hailers, convince the Ministry of Transport, or at least lobby for the approval to be given for this 6 months proof of concept?
So I'd like to say that it's been about a 4-year relationship with the ministry. It wasn't a one-term or one-government relationship with the ministry. Since 2016, I've been building reputation or rapport with people or personnel within the ministry, and I've always shared data with them. I've always shared the positives. I've always shared and outlined the negatives. I've also shared how we as a private entity intend to also become the bridging element to a lot of the social schemes that the government usually takes on as a challenge. So when the new ministry came up to meet up with me, I shared everything that I had always shared with the ministry from day one. And they were impressed with what we had. Anthony Loke himself was keen to see how taxi motorcycles could be a key enabler in the first mile and last mile solution to their public transport system. And we had to like look into all the issues that the general public were concerned about. And when we tabled that with him and his officers, they were persuaded and they felt that a 6-month term to look into this and actually collect that data would be something beneficial for not only their party but also us. And that's where we got started.
So what kind of data is this, and what is this proof of concept 6 months going to be judged based on? What is the Ministry of Transport looking at?
So they're looking at whether the usability of motorcycle taxis is something that can be done from LRT stations, MRT stations, bus exchanges like Pudu or Terminal Bus Selatan, or and you know, anywhere where there is a large group of people who need accessibility to the public transport, and vice versa, back and forth. So we've collected in the last month data that has proven that this is true and this is real. A lot of our customers are frequent users or daily users of our service. So other than that, I think Ministry of Transport would like to look at the safety element and versus the number of transactions or trips that we've done to validate whether or not this is a viably safe mode of transport. Thirdly, they would like to see whether or not you know, our country or our city is already jammed up with a lot of vehicles and our parking spaces are way beyond full. So how do we reduce this? How do we reduce congestion? And using vehicles that are already on the road to validate that vehicle reduction or congestion in the city area is where we are trying to prove that real. And I think 6 months is a good amount of time to prove whether or not these three things can be met.
So what is then the Ministry of Transport asking from you specifically? Are you, how sure are you you're going to get a license at the end of this period?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that the data can validate the presence of motorcycle taxis in Malaysia. It can validate how it can help all of us commute better and safer and quicker and cheaper in Klang Valley. And I just have high hopes. Other than that, it's about hard work and making sure that the ministry sees the proof of what I've been pitching to them for the last 4 years.
And what's your break-even point? What is it going to take for you as Dago Malaysia to be sustainable in terms of riders, in terms of revenue? Do you have any numbers that you can share with us today?
I think it's a little too early. However, we are already internally hitting our projections way beyond what we've expected. And we look forward to continued growth. We look forward to building greater partnerships with other parties in Malaysia, if not only in Klang Valley, to improve the tech enablement and also help the B40, the students, earn better income opportunities.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks, Roshan. Appreciate it.
I've been speaking to Nabil Faizal Bamanach, founder and CEO of Dago Malaysia, the owner and operator of Dago Ride. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.